Hey everyone, this is Angelica and this is the Bring Back Femininity podcast, where we educate and empower women how to tap in their secret superpowers in order to get everything they want out of life. Please subscribe, share, and I want you to thank you all for listening. All right. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the first ever episode of the Bring Back Femininity podcast. I'm your host. I am your official host, Angelica Babakov. And today I have my amazing fiance, Michael Chulo, here with me.
Hello, hello.
How are you?
Good, how are you?
It's nice to have you here.
It's great to be here.
Okay, good. Well, I was actually going to do this first episode solo, but I just feel Mike has been a very initial part and very important part to my femininity journey. So I only thought I would have him here today.
Great. Well, I think to get this thing started, we have to open up this bottle of champagne.
Yes.
You know, I mean, it's a long time coming. Real proud of you.
It's so funny because we had this podcast stuff here for so long and it's just been sitting in the closet. So this definitely calls for a toast.
Oh, for sure. Well, I'm just proud of you because I know that this is stuff is out of your comfort zone, but it's been really cool to see like how much you've been helping these women that have been reaching out to you. And, you know, it's just been such a blessing to see you get this like profound, you know, purpose in your life. And I'm just so excited for you and I'm so proud of you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. So,
well, like, before we start anything, yeah. I actually want to say that I even can't believe that we are doing this. Me, myself, and I, too. It's definitely out of my comfort zone, but it's 2023, and if I want things to be different, I have to do things differently. So this was definitely part of a New Year's resolution I have. And yes, cheers to that.
Cheers. It's good. Thank you, Dan. Dan got us that bottle of champagne. Thank you, Dan. Shout out to Dan.
He's going to watch this and he's going to love it.
So, you know, I know that like the first episode, you really wanted to talk about why you're doing this. And, you know, I think that's a really important place to start because I think it will give a lot of context, you know, for the rest of this. And so, yeah, I mean, you know, why are you doing this and like what got you into this and what are you hoping to achieve for everybody that listens?
Well, I guess my whole background with this is that I used to live in Toronto. This was like 2 years ago, right? Before you met me. And I was working nightlife. I was working bottle service. I was in toxic relationships. And then you came into my life. And I would say that you were the first guy who has ever given me like the whole wake up call of like, hey, this is like femininity and masculinity. And we were in Croatia. And I remember we were in Europe and it's like everybody has a good time in Europe. And I didn't, you know, we were just fighting all the time. And it was more of like a me problem because even when you apologized to me, I was very like, just very alpha female. I would always bump heads with you. It was like my way or the highway. And I just felt like at one point I was self-sabotaging the relationship. You know, I was reading my self-sabotage book and I was like doing all these things, but like deep down inside, I didn't know why I was feeling this way. But now looking back on it, it's like I was wired for 22 years to be like masculine, very independent. And I remember us being in Croatia and you were so fed up. Like we were on a yacht and I would fight with you. And it was just, it was very miserable times. And then, we were in Croatia and you had nothing left in you. And you're like, yo, Angelica, like I'm the man and you're supposed to be the feminine woman. And I'm like, femininity? I'm like, what the hell is that? And it's like I was so brainwashed by the feminist movement because all I knew from social media, from music, from everything that I'm watching around me and from the people I'm surrounding myself with, they're just like, yeah, like being Miss Independent, like, you know, be a career woman, like screw men, they're this, they're that. And I was like, yeah, screw them. And I was just like, I was part of that. I was like literally brainwashed to the point where I didn't even know what femininity was. And I remember I knew that you were the one for me. You know, I was just like, okay, like this is my person. Like this has been everything that I've been praying for and manifesting for such a long time. And I feel like I needed to change. And that's exactly what I did. You told me what femininity was. My phone was listening to me. An Instagram page popped up on my Explore page, and it was called The Femininity Doctor. So shout out to The Femininity Doctor, because once I started reading her page, I was triggered. I realized I was a narcissist. I would gaslight you in every situation. And I just had masculine energy like to the max. And I was just like, wow, like this is a real thing. And like I knew deep down in my core, she was listing all these feminine qualities that I wanted to be deep down inside. And I feel like you saw that in me.
Oh yeah.
I feel like you knew I had the potential, and I was also young and I was easy moldable and coachable. And what I did was I took her course, and I remember being on the beach, and you were so happy about that. You know, you're just like, wow, like she's making a change, like for herself, but not only for herself, like for the relationship. And I feel like you really appreciated that.
Oh yeah.
So I took a course and realized that I was the problem. And then I just started to get addicted to books. And then I started reading books, and they were like the cheat codes into like a man's brain. Mm-hmm. And I was like, whoa, like why doesn't everybody know this? Like this is like the real deal. So I started taking, like I started implementing certain things that I was learning, and I started doing tweaks in our relationship, and like, damn, like that was a game changer. That was a complete game changer for me. And I just like went around women, and you know, a lot of women, the popular conversation would be men. And it seems like a lot of women in today's society are struggling to understand men, and men are like struggling to understand women. And I just feel like we're not educated enough in the topic when it comes to energies, when it comes to even like traditional values, because we're so caught up in like the modern society. Mm-hmm. And we're just like, we just completely switched where men are more feminine and women are more masculine, and they were, you know, putting them together, and it's just not working out. And then you have like girls that are like above like 30 years old and they're still struggling. And then when I talk to them, or I have a conversation with any woman, single, married, have kids, like younger, older, and they would always vent to me or ask for advice, I would just kind of like, you know, spit my little femininity wisdom, and their jaws would be dropped. And I just realized that there was such like a confusion. And I feel like slowly I started figuring it out. Like I started figuring the game out with you, and you were like my little guinea pig, you know, because it was just like, okay, you're a masculine man. I'm trying to change from masculine to femininity. Like, let me try this, you know. And it was like, it took 2 years for me to finally kind of like give in to like the submissive role. And it's just like, but it was like step by step process that made things easier. You know, I'm not perfect. I still have my moments, and sure. So like eating in the background. So if you hear Enzo,
the Pomeranian.
Yeah, if you hear Enzo crunching away, he chooses to eat when we're doing this. Yes. Because before this, he was just staring at us the whole time.
Oh yeah, well that's the way it works, you know. And the thing that I liked a lot that you said was, you know, just about admitting that there was room for improvement, you know. And I think we all go through life and we're looking at these music videos and these different pop stars, you know, and we're
Enzo, not the Enzo. Time.
And we're looking, you know, at these pop stars, attention. We're looking at all these different people, celebrities and Instagram influencers and all of that. And it's just like, it's like you, what do you call it? You call it the boss babe movement,
which is, there's nothing wrong with the boss babe movement, but I just feel like women, they're kind of like going more into boss babe rather than woman, and they're adopting these masculine traits that they think like are cool, you know. But it's like, if you want to be a career woman, go be a career woman. But if you want to be in a healthy relationship, and personally I'm saying this, it's like you can switch off the masculine role and you get in tune with your femininity. And it's like who you are at the end of the day to your man, you know?
Right.
So
how have you seen like your life transform, kind of the way you used to do things, like bottle service, make your own money, you know?
Miss Independent. Adam,
you don't need any guy, like, you know, have a guy, have one foot in, one foot out, right? That was kind of the way you used to live your relationship life. And, you know, what's the difference between that and I guess like being all the way in, and I guess again, like why do you feel the need to teach that to others?
Okay. Well, yes. Looking back on it, I was in toxic relationships, and I guess that was like, that was definitely a me problem. I always kind of blame the dude for it. And it's like, okay, yes, you were a bad person, but me personally, I wasn't helping anything. Like, I was doing bottle service. I was making a shit ton of money, you know, and shit ton of money as at a young age, you know. I was so young. So
How old were you?
When I started bottle service, I was actually 18. But then I started working at a really popular nightclub. Mm-hmm. And that's where, like, everybody would come in and party. So I was making really good money. And with really good money, you start to get very power-driven.
Yeah.
So I feel like I adopted that masculine role of being very power-driven. And it led me to kind of just thinking all I need is, like, okay, I have my own money. I don't need a man to take care of me. Like, I'm good on my own. So it's like my way or the highway. We're going to do things my way. If you don't like it, I'm going to go kind of like do whatever else I need to do. You know, I had no woman qualities attached, but I had potential. I wanted love. I wanted to find a relationship. I wanted somebody to take care of me and be emotionally available and do all these things. But was I the woman that they wanted to do it for? Was like, no. And I just feel like you were the first guy to ever put me in my place, you know, quote unquote, put me in my place. And just,
that's going to be a controversial.
I know, but whatever. It's so true. You had nothing left in you, and you saw the potential.
I think when you say like putting in your place, it's like, you know, that can go both ways, right? The woman can do that to the man too. And
okay, but you and I, let's not talk about controversy, because I feel like the people watching this podcast, they know what I'm talking about, because I said quote unquote. I know you want to be like for everybody,
no,
but it's
no,
like
I'm
you literally
saying, no, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that the reality is that, you know, I could just see a lot of people, yeah, saying like, oh, he put her in her place, like, you know, she thinks less of herself, like she's this and that, you know, because there's a lot of people that say that kind of stuff. Like, that's the other side of
it. But you know what's so crazy is you putting me in my place and actually stepping in and being like, whoa, like you need to chill out. Like, you're the feminine woman and I'm the masculine man. You actually changed my life doing that. You right. know, like I didn't even know what it was. So I was basically operating in an energy I didn't know, which was masculine energy. And I thought that's what was going to attract men. I thought that was the goal. Like, I have my money, I can take care of me. You don't need to take care of me. Like, I'm good on my own. And I just feel like I have a nice car. I live in a beautiful home. I have all these things, but I was really struggling on like, okay, but like, do you know how to talk to a man? Do you know how to understand him? Do you know how to be supportive? Like, do you know how to, you know, make him feel good? Do you know how to boost his ego? It's like, I didn't know any of that. So it's like you telling me what I needed to hear at that moment, and me not taking it as like, my old self would be like, who the hell do you think you are? You think you can talk to me this way? I don't think so. You know, screw you. And I probably would have ruined the relationship. But then like I said, like deep down in my core, I was like, I knew I wanted you in my life and I knew this could be something serious. So I was like, I need to change and let me change and see where this goes. And that's exactly what happened. So you actually gave me the freedom. You gave me more freedom, because now I just feel like I'm in an energy where I get to relax. You know, it's not always like, okay, I need to give. I'm able to like receive. I'm able to like submit, obviously, to somebody I trust. I'm able to not control every situation. Like, you know, like when we go to the airport, I don't even know what I'm doing there. Like, you're just like walking me through everything.
La, la,
and I'm
la,
like,
la, la.
Yeah, that's literally like, and that's so freeing, because before it was like, I would always need to book this, book that, do this, do that. And now I'm just like lollygagging, you know?
What would you say to the women that, you know, they feel like, well, a lot of this like boss babe movement is a result of a lot of feminine men that no longer step up and don't play that masculine role anymore.
Mm-hmm.
What do you say about that, where they've kind of been forced into a situation where they need to be that person because they've never met a guy that's been reliable? You know, there's a lot of fuck boys out there now, you know, there's a lot. And I was one of them, you know, and that's kind of like my background story is, you know, I went from, you know, traveling the world and, you know, just being on the single guy path and being a bachelor and just kind of going from girl to girl. And I know you don't like hearing this.
But, you had no one before me.
Right.
No one at all. There's no history.
Yeah, that's right. I was a virgin and it was so nice meeting you when our parents introduced us at church. But
people are going to think that's the story, but we have to tell them because no, everybody's asking, what's the story? How did you meet him?
Yeah, we'll get to that. And I think that, you know, it's just good to give people context, like you were talking about earlier, which is, you know, we were not always this way. You know, I think people see us now and they're like, wow, you know, they have such a nice relationship. And you guys make, like, we were at lunch today and they're like, you guys make such a great pair, you know. And
or like couple goals. And I'm just looking at the messages like, thank you. But like, it's not all, you know, unicorns and rainbows because shit got real for it to get
better. Exactly. You know? And we both weren't wired this way. I mean, what happened was, I was kind of going from girl to girl. I was traveling the world. You know, I lived in South America. I went, you know, to, you know, Eastern Europe. And you know, I was just, I was making a lot of money at a young age. I was retired already from my first company. And I was just kind of having fun. And, you know, so it was kind of like an abundance of fun. And because I didn't have to work much and I could just travel and show off on my Instagram and kind of could have whoever I wanted. And I know you, same for you, obviously you're a beautiful girl and, you know, I mean, when you're young and beautiful, you can have whoever you want to. And so we kind of were in that same boat where we could have whatever we wanted, whoever we wanted, whenever we wanted. And, you know, what you learn over time, what I learned is that it's very empty. You know, you kind of go from relationship to relationship and, you know, because you're not willing to kind of get past that point of selfishness to more selflessness. And, you know, I think it's obviously you have to meet that right person. And in our case, we did. But you have to meet that right person in order to kind of get to that next point within yourself, to learn the patience, to read the books, to have those discussions, those uncomfortable discussions, have those fights, have those long 3-hour conversations that go in circles, you know, and you have to get through that point to come out the other end and be in a much more profound, a much deeper relationship than, you know, you ever were before. Mm-hmm. So for me, you know, this whole like masculinity thing, which is really the opposite of femininity, I learned from traveling. You know, growing up in San Francisco, you know, it's a very liberal area. I mean, it's one of the most, you know, feminist movement kind of cultures in that area. And so I grew up with that. And it was, I was jaded, you know, because I thought, wow, all women are like this. This sucks. You know, I thought, I like, no woman made me feel like a man. And I didn't even know what that meant until I actually felt it. And when I went down to, I lived in Colombia for 2 years. You know, they, like the women down there aren't ruined, I would say, by Western culture. Mm-hmm. And ruined in the fact that they've kind of lost their femininity. You mm-hmm. know, they embrace femininity in South America, just kind of like they embrace femininity in Eastern Europe. You know, these are kind of the two areas left where femininity is really embraced culturally across all the people. And so when I went down there, I remember just being like, whoa. This is so weird. I feel like a man. Like, I don't even know what it is. I don't even know what was going on, but the energy they're putting off is making me feel way more manly. And so after living there for 2 years and kind of learned what that dynamic truly is, coming back to the US, I was like, okay, like there was a point in my life where I'm like, I'm never gonna be with somebody ever again from the US. Like, I was so turned off after having that experience.
About the Western culture.
About
where everybody's brainwashed. Yeah.
Right. This Western culture. And I was just like, wow, okay. Like, and again, I say this with all due respect to you, but it's just like, these girls were way hotter. They were way nicer, way more feminine. And I'm just like, why would I ever go back there? Because, you know, it was just so opposite, you know, of what I wanted. And so when I came back to the US, because the downside with all that obviously is language barrier and there's other, and they weren't you, but you know, like coming to here, you know, I wanted to meet a girl that spoke English, obviously primary language, and was beautiful and I could actually relate with and actually have a good conversation with and have a sense of humor with and have something like this with.
And you know? Someone who still holds those traditional values to a high regard.
Well, that was the hard part, right? Because you're kind of looking for a unicorn in that sense in Western society to be able to find somebody that, at least as a man looking for a woman that has those traditional values, that, you know, was raised correctly, that's close with her family, that is smart, feminine, submissive, beautiful. And when I say submissive, you know, I think people get confused on that. Like, oh, you do everything I tell you to do. It's like, that's not the case at all.
I know.
It's so funny. Like, I remember when you were talking to my mom and she was like getting upset about this conversation and just saying, well, you should never allow a man to tell you what to do and this and that. And it's like, you know, what's so funny is like,
what did you say? You said something funny.
Well, I'm like, yeah, I'm like, she, by her being feminine, she gets everything she wants. It's like a ninja mind trick, you know, on a man.
It's a true power source that women don't realize they have. And I didn't realize it. I wish someone, when I was younger and I was growing up, it's like my parents are split. You know, my mom was very independent and that's all I knew how to do was like very Miss Independent attitude. And I suppressed my femininity and I wish I had someone sit me down and just be like, hey, like tune into your power source, like stay feminine, like don't lose that light of yours. And I had nobody to do that. And now being 22, when I met you, I was like, wow, like I have unlocked a new power source within me.
Oh yeah.
You know? And it's just like a lot of people think like, no, like you're superior and I'm inferior. It's like, we're not. What is it? Like, we're still equal, but we're very different. We're like, different. We have different roles, and I'm totally okay with that. Like, I don't want to do everything that you do. I don't want to carry the weight of my shoulder. Like, I don't want to carry the weight of the world on my shoulders. Like, you can do that. You're capable of doing that. Like, I don't want to, you know, lift heavy objects because I can. It's like, you can do that. Your body's built for that. Like, let a man be a man and let a woman be a woman. Like, I love cooking for you, you know, I love taking care of Enzo, I love, you know, supporting you, I love doing all these things, and I love complimenting you, I love making you feel good. Like, and I've never done that before in my life, so it feels good to finally be on the other side of things. And I realize that so many women are struggling, and you know, this whole thing started off on my personal page where I was just posting pictures on my story about me reading my books, and so many people messaged me, and I didn't think anybody cared. I thought a lot of feminists would come after me and being like, you have no purpose in life, you're this and that. And it's just like, I got kind of scared. But then I realized that a lot of women do message me, and they're just like, what book is this? What is it talking about? What is femininity? So I found this kind of like hole in society, and I'm just like, wow, like I need to talk about this. And I remember just gaining followers, and just remember I was just like ramping it up with reels, but I was posting such stupid content. I was posting like all like luxury lifestyle content.
Yeah,
and well, that was fun.
She was taking my Lamborghini and driving it around the, you know, Miami, and you know, don't look at me like that.
I am looking at you,
but
like,
you know,
that.
Because I would even have buddies like I would go out to lunch with, and they'd be like, "So, like, what's she doing with that?" You know, like, and I'm just like, I don't know, but it's going somewhere.
Listen, I knew that I wanted to gain followers.
Yeah, that's the sink.
We're doing this in the kitchen.
No, we're not. It's the family room.
So, do we just wait for that to stop?
No, keep going.
I knew that I wanted to gain an audience, but I realized that I was gaining more of a male audience rather than a female audience. And I told Mike, I was like, listen, if you can switch all my followers to women followers, I would do it in a heartbeat. Mm. And he's like, okay, but what are you doing? Like, what is your end goal? And I was like, it really got to me. I'm like, what is my goal? Like, what is my goal with doing all of this? Like, I knew that I always wanted to teach people something, you know, because I feel like that's where social media is going. I feel like people respect other people that they can learn from. And one day I was just like, yeah, like I have femininity, I can teach people. I read so many books about it. I did courses. Like, I'm not an expert, but I'm pretty familiar like with the subject, and I've talked to so many people, and people know that I'm on the right track. So it's like, how can I impact it? And then that's where I started my Bring Back Femininity page. And you know, the community grew and everybody started messaging me and they're like, you need to start a podcast. And I was like, yeah, for sure. I'll do it. I didn't do it. I was definitely in my comfort zone. I was trying to just stay in my safe place. But then I knew 2023 was coming around and I was like, you know what? 2023, I needed to be different. I want to start on a clean slate. I know that a lot of people were starting a new journey. So I'm like, you know what? January is going to be, and now it's tomorrow. It's releasing tomorrow. We're recording Sunday and it's releasing on Monday.
Yeah, I'm proud of you.
Well, now, before we get into anything else, everybody is dying to know how we met.
So that's a good story.
And everybody thinks it's a crazy love story, which it is. But how it started was...
I slid right in those DMs.
He slid in the DM. I slid
right in there. So it was Christmas Day, over 2 years ago. So yeah, I don't know what that is, 2021? Yeah, Christmas of 2021. And I'm just, you know, being a scumbag. And I'm going on Instagram and I'm hunting. And look, that was my old life, you know, and I was still the guy that I'm talking about. Well, leading up until about 3 months before I met you, and that's for another day maybe, yeah. But you know, because we can definitely get into that sometime about what I did to meet a girl like you, which there were some serious changes I made in myself, you know, for probably the 4 or 5 months leading up to meeting you. And that's one of the things, like when guys ask me how I met you and how I'm in this relationship and, you know, all of that.
There's a whole story behind it.
But anyway, so let's fast forward. And I slid in the DMs and I was hitting you up and you were ignoring me.
You said Merry Christmas. I said Merry Christmas back, because if someone says Merry Christmas, you're not just going to ignore them.
Which I really appreciate, because you are a Jewish.
So I'm like, whatever, Merry Christmas.
Which I didn't know, by the way, at the time. I didn't know you were Jewish, so... It was a funny day to pick to wish you a Merry Christmas. But you did message it back, and then you were going to Tulum for your birthday. And I was, I think I had COVID, actually. And so I flew back to California to see my family, because I missed Christmas with them because of being sick. So I flew back and saw them. And when I was there, you were in Tulum. And I just came from Tulum about a week and a half prior. And
okay, but honestly, like, he was messaging me, and just a little my story behind it. It's like, when he was messaging me and I was kind of like being very dry, it's because Enzo could not be like do everything. Like, he chokes, he eats, oh, yeah, he barks. Like, he just wants attention.
He wants
now.
The attention.
So I was coming out. I was already out of a toxic relationship, you know, and I wasn't looking for anybody. So when Mike like started messaging me, I was like looking at his profile, and he was a super flashy dude, you know, like driving nice cars, traveling, doing all of these things. But like me working bottle service, you know, I realized, you know, that the people on Instagram are, you know, it's like, it's very fake. So I know a lot.
Enzo, it's enough. Come on, buddy.
So I knew that like the guys that flash the most are the ones that are the most broke. Sorry, but there's a lot of them that came to the club, and you know, they would be flashing all this stuff and all this jewelry, and then they would come to the club and their card would decline, you know? So I was already scared about that. I'm like, listen, Instagram is not real. I'm not doing this. And I just came out of a toxic relationship. I was like, you know what? I just want to focus on myself. I just want to do me. And
Boss babe stuff.
Yeah, like that's literally the vibe that I was on. I was just very reserved, and I was just like, I want to do things differently. So when he was messaging me, I was like, whatever, like who cares about this guy, you know? Like I'm not looking for anything. It's just some guy. And I was in Tulum for my birthday, and he was like telling me, he's like, I'll fly out to you right now and blah, 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 blah. And I was like looking at my friend. I'm just like, who the hell does this guy think he is, thinking that he can fly out on my birthday? Like,
oh, I could.
Like the audacity this guy has to think that I want him here. So I ignored him. I completely ignored him. I was like, I don't even know what to say to this. Like, I'm not saying anything. And I literally ghosted him. And he kept trying and trying. And then I told him, I was like, well, I'm going to be in Miami. And when he was in Miami, he's like, he's also very traditional. So he wanted to take me out for dinner one-on-one. And I was like, there's no way in hell I'm going on a date with this. Yeah, he wanted to pick me up
and open the car door and take you somewhere nice.
And I was like looking at this and I'm like, I just met this guy on Instagram. I don't know who he is. I'm like, he's definitely a serial killer. I'm like, and I kept telling him, I was like, listen, I'll go on a date with you, but let's go like on a double date. Like, let's go. I'll bring a friend and you bring a friend and everything will be fine. He was like, no. And the more that he kept rejecting, the more I thought he was a serial killer. So I'm like, okay, not happening.
All the dating books say never go on a double date for the first date. It's like, just like you would never go to breakfast or lunch. Like, those are friend things. And you can't get to know somebody on a double date. So that's why, you know.
Listen, I had to know at first.
That kind of stuff down.
I know, but I had to know first if you were a serial killer or not. I had to know what you were about. I didn't want to be on a date where things were super awkward. So, you know, like I didn't know you personally. I don't know your friends. I don't know where you work. I didn't know anything about you. So I didn't want to have those times where we would just sit down and it would be awkward. Like, I didn't know even like your politics at the time. Like, I didn't know what you thought about COVID and all these things that were so important to know, you know? Mm-hmm. So I didn't want to sit down to dinner and just completely be on the opposite page.
Sure.
So that's why I was like, you know what? If we go on a double date, it will be less awkward. We can all talk about it. We can all say our stories, whatever, whatever. But
anyway, so I'm like, okay, well, what am I going to do to impress this girl? Because I really want to meet her. And I could just tell from her stories, like, you were, I don't know, you could just get a feeling about people, you know, and you just seem like a good girl. You know, you just see, look, we're super cute. And I don't know, there was just something about you where I'm like, oh, she's old enough to where, you know, obviously it's not weird because I was 30. No, 29. No, 30, because you were just turning 23. And but young enough to where I knew that there was like, yeah, I could mold you a bit. And that's important because when I say mold, it's not like in a manipulative way. It's like I had done so much self-work on myself. I mean, so much reading, so much meditation, so much journaling, therapy, you know, just really long exercises, stretching, yoga, like doing so much to better myself throughout the years. And I wanted somebody that would be on that same path with me, that would be open-minded to learning some of these, like, I guess you could call them like tools that you can use to just excel in life, because I had done really well for myself.
Just self-development. Someone who is willing to self-develop, right, you know, to become a better version of themselves.
Sure, because that's rare to find, you know, and I wanted to find somebody that'd be open-minded enough. So when I saw you, I'm like, oh man, I have to meet this girl. And I was like instantly obsessed. Instantly, I was. And I would have flown to Tulum in a heartbeat. But that was my thing. Like, I had lived out of a suitcase for 4 years and I had been to dozens of countries and lived overseas. So for me, hopping on a plane to Tulum wasn't weird. You know, that may have been weird to somebody normal, you know, that lived in one city, you know, their whole life. But for me, like traveling everywhere, me to get on a plane in 2 seconds was totally normal. But I get now, looking back, that would have been super creepy. So I get it.
Especially on my birthday. I'm like, there's no way he's celebrating my birthday.
Yeah,
this random guy.
Your birthday present.
Yeah, this random guy celebrating my birthday with me. I'm like, there's no way. But fast forward is he got a yacht with all his friends and he was leaving to Dubai the next day. That's why he got like a goodbye going away party for like a week he was going. So he was being a little extra.
No, actually it was other friends.
They did it.
Yeah.
Okay, so they got a yacht. And
because it was my big going away party, even though I was only leaving for a week.
Yeah.
Love that.
So good, they got friends. A yacht. And
shout out to Victor, Alan, Michael. Keep going.
Okay, thank you. So he invited me, and I was able to bring my friend. So I felt comfortable, and it was just me on a yacht with my friend with a big group of people that I didn't know. And, you know, my drinking, and he was, like, 6 months, like, without drinking. So I thought that was like something super.
Drinking today.
Yeah. I thought that was like super interesting. You know, it was like the discipline he had in him. Like, all his buddies are drinking, but he's the one that's saying like, no, no, no. So I don't know. I just found that like super attractive, and I was into him. I was very into him. And, you know, we had a good time on the boat together, and then he was leaving to Dubai the next day. So it was like meeting somebody, hitting it off. And then the next day he leaves for a week.
Yeah, so I had a pre-planned trip to Dubai. I left, came back a week later. I had given you my weed pen because I wanted something to give to you that I could get when I got back.
Yeah.
So on the plane to Dubai, though, I sent you like 200 roses to your house.
Oh, my God. Yeah. It was like super beautiful roses, like insanity. And he just, it was a great first impression. You know, it's like, okay, I'm leaving to Dubai. Here's 200 roses. I'm like, wow.
And so,
who is this guy?
So went to Dubai, came back, saw her again. And I think
right after the flight, you texted me saying that he needs his weed pen from me.
Right after I had flown back from the Middle East. So I'm exhausted. And the first thing I wanted to do was see her. So I went and saw her. And then from there, I was leaving for Brazil maybe a week later. She also had to leave to go back to Toronto. So took her out. Like, I had rented like this Rolls Royce, like a white Rolls Royce convertible, and took her to the zoo. We smoked some weed and went to the zoo and played with all the animals. And it was a good,
it was like, a great first
date third date. And I think that was our third date, because we did the boat.
And then we did then Poppy Steak. I took you steak. Out
to dinner. Yeah, Poppy Steak that night. I took you to dinner when I got back from Dubai.
At the garden thing, right?
And then the next date after that, I think, was the zoo.
Yeah. Was that our last one before I left?
I think so. Yeah. So we hung out, went to the zoo. Then she had to go back to Toronto, and I
wasn't able to come back to Miami because they gave me like a time limit because it was during COVID time. They thought I was like working here. So they gave me a time limit. So February 2nd was when I had to leave. And they told me like, hey, it'll be a good idea if you don't come back to the United States. Just, you know, so we don't get the wrong idea. So I thought that was the end of us. I thought, I was like, hey, we had a good time, whatever, we hit it off. I didn't think too much of it, you know, but you kept calling me and I was just like, wow, like this can be something, you know?
Right. I went to Brazil.
Yeah.
And we were at that point, we had gotten a photo from our first date. So I had,
that's a good photo.
Yeah. We had gotten a Polaroid photo taken at one of the restaurants. And so I brought that with me to Brazil, and I was obsessed with you at that point. And yeah, we were talking every day. I was texting you, calling you when I got back to Miami, same thing. And then I just said, I want to see you. And I said, you know, she couldn't come back to the U.S. for a set period of time. So I said, well, name a place in the world and we'll go. And that's what we did. And she decided, and we decided on South Africa.
Well, this was February, and he sends me, he's just like, well, like, I want to see you. Let's meet up somewhere. And I'm like, where? I can't come back to the U.S. And he sends me, he's like, anywhere in the world you want to go, like, let's go. And I'm like, this guy's not serious. Like, seen this before, he's not serious at all. And he sends me like an email, like a whole itinerary, and he's just like, okay, we can start here and then go here, we can start here. And it was just like, let's start in Dubai, let's start in the Maldives, let's start in South Africa. And then he sent me like a map of like all like with like lines on like how things would make sense. And I was just like, whoa, like, who is this guy? And then I just picked like the most randomest place. I was like, you know what? Let's pick South Africa. He's not going to do South Africa. And he's like, okay, like send me your flight details and all that stuff. And I was just like, okay, he's not going to book it. Like there's no way he's going to book it. And then the next day, you know, I get an email and it's just like, you're going to South Africa. And I'm like, oh my God. And I think this was like, he booked it for February 24th. I remember it was my little brother's birthday. I spent like the morning with him and then I was just like on my flight. But prior to that, I was like, I can't believe I'm doing this. Like my whole family, like my dad, everybody was like, who is this guy? And, you know, Mike on his Instagram, he had his like pictures of like his shirt off and he has like tattoos everywhere and all that stuff. And then when my dad saw it, he's like, holy shit, like this is who you're going with? I'm like, Dad, like I met him, like, you know, my friend met him, like it's all good.
Yeah, he's like, she's in trouble. This isn't good.
Like South Africa,
this
guys.
Boy is no good.
I thought I was gonna get human trafficked there. It was like the most randomest place. But I was also scared because it's like, you know, you're flying across the world and you're meeting this person and you know you guys are basically living with each other. And it's like, he told me, he made it really safe. He's like, listen, if it works out, amazing. If it doesn't, I'll give you a flight home and that's that. So I packed my bags. I remember telling like everybody, I was like, do I go, do I not go? And I'm like, screw it, I'm going. So that night, February 24th, I set out to South Africa and I met you in Amsterdam.
Yep. So we met in Amsterdam, flew to South Africa, went to on a safari after that. Then we went to Egypt because we couldn't fly to Dubai because of COVID. So we went to Egypt first, went to the pyramids, then we flew to Dubai, then Abu Dhabi, then we went to the Maldives, and then we flew from the Maldives down to Colombia in South America. And by the time we got back, I had bought you a car and I had got us a place here in Miami, and we moved in and we haven't been apart a day since. So it's a fairy tale story for sure.
Yeah, it started off as like I slid into the DMs, but what he did after that, it was just like out of this world, you know. And a lot of people are just like asking me like, well, how did you know like he was the one, you know? And I'm just like, I knew he was the one because he was like the first guy that showed me like what a real man is, you know? Like he's the type of guy that, you know, wanted to take the lead. He was the one that wanted to take care of me. He was very like emotionally available. Enzo, stop. He was very emotionally available. He opened the door for me. Like he just taught me like what it was. He unlocked this feeling in my heart that I didn't even knew existed. And he taught me what it is like to be with like a real man. So that's when I knew he was like the one for me, the one. And I'm not going to lie, like when everybody asked me in the past, being like, well, what's your dream guy? You know, like what do you want in a guy? And I would always say the same exact things. I would say, well, I want him to be emotionally available. I want him to have blonde hair, blue eyes. Like, you know, I want him to be like a traveler. I want him to love me. I want him to take care. I want him to take care of me. Like I want all these things. And then like my last thing was like even like throw in the tattoos. And I always said that. And then like God just gives me him, you know, in a package. And he's like, well, here, like, what are you going to do? So it was, that's how I knew. Cause I looked at him and I'm just like, wow, like you're exactly who I wanted. So, and then it was just up to me and up to him to like, kind of like make it work out.
So it's good that you invited me on this because I think that, you know, when you talk about femininity, you have to have some sort of polarization to that, and which is masculinity. And so it's really hard to talk about femininity without talking about masculinity.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I'm just grateful to be a part of this with you and grateful to be invited. And, you know, for whatever episodes you decide, you know, that you would like me to participate, I'm happy to, because, you know, just as much as women are out there struggling, equally men are too. And, you know, all the stuff that you help women with, you know, I've already got a lot of buddies my age, a little bit younger, a little bit older, who are all kind of living that same path that I was, living the same path that you were. And they're looking for something better now. They're looking for something deeper. They're looking for something more profound. And I believe that we can help just from the experience that we've had, kind of going from, you know, being independent and being, you know, more kind of like today's society, kind of transforming into more of a traditional relationship, that we can help other people go through that same journey too.
Yeah. And like, listen, we're not experts here. We're not saying we are experts and we've been doing this for decades. Like our transition was pretty quick. Like my life changed in the span of like 2 years, from living in Toronto, being in toxic relationships, working nightlife, to like now being engaged and soon to be married and just finding true like inner happiness. And it wasn't always like this. There was a lot of work that had to be done. There was a lot of work that he had to do. There was a lot of work that I had to do. And there was a lot of work that we had to do together. But at the end of the day, when you think back on it, it's kind of just like, I knew I wanted love. And I knew that Mike was the one that I wanted. And this goes back to obviously like creating a list, which I feel like that's going to be like a whole nother episode of just like creating a list of who you actually want in life and like not settling. So it was just, where was my train of thought doing this?
I don't know, but
like, what? I kind of just like lost it. But oh yeah, I was like, it's like doing the self work. And that's what exactly what we did. Like we weren't always like this. I wasn't the best person to be around with. Like we were in Europe and I would ruin vacations. Like he told me now, like, he was going to propose to me in Europe. And he did. And he was carrying around a ring. And he was scared every time he would go through security. But I was such a hard person to deal with that he got scared. Like, he got scared out of a proposal in Europe. Like, that's how much of a wrong path I was on. And looking back on it now, it's like, listen, I'm not the best person. Like, I make mistakes. I'm not perfect. But we both found these tools for each other that make situations like a lot better and a lot easier.
So, like, in summary, to end this out today, like, what do you think are, like, what are some of the things that you're going to be talking about in the future episodes, just like high level? And what is the goal?
So the goal is that I think that every woman, no matter what stage she's in, can change her life. And because I changed mine, like, I'm a living proof to being like, I hope I'm more relatable to everybody, because I'm here talking about femininity and I'm here like with you and it, you know, people see it on Instagram. Oh, she's living this like glamorous lifestyle and all that stuff. But it's like, I just want to let everybody know that I struggled. You know, I wasn't always like this. I was going down a wrong path. I almost sabotaged our relationship and I realized that I needed to change myself. So my whole point with this podcast is I realize that so many women are just confused. And I just feel like once we start both educating them in masculine and feminine energy, they'll start living in their more innate biological state, you know? And that's, for me, it's femininity. For him, it's masculinity. And I just hope that, like, women take the time and, like, change and start this new journey. Because, like, listen, if I found the love of my life, you know, I'm sure every woman could, but it took a lot of educating for me to be the way that I am today. And I guess, like, with this podcast is, like, I guess, like, every single book that I've read or every course that I've taken, I'm going to put in this podcast. So I hope it's more, like, fun for you to listen to. I hope it's, like, an audiobook that you guys can listen to. But, like, you know, knowing Mike and I and just being very personal. But on a high level of what I'm going to be talking about is, I want to have guests on here. I want to have, like, my other girls here that are also part of this, like, feminine journey. I want to have Mike around, maybe some of his friends. I want to talk about how what men see in women. I want to talk about, like, dating advice and just, like, you know, the big lies that we've been told, like, as a society. So there's going to be a lot of stuff to talk about. I'm going to talk about healing, spirituality, God, because that was a big part of our life. I'm going to talk polarity, the yin and the yang. So there's a lot of things, and I hope you can take this step by step and maybe take notes, because what I know when I listen to podcasts, I love to take notes and set goals for myself. So this is going to be like a high school class, but very personal. So it's going to be very educational. So I'm super excited about that. And I just hope we get to all be part of this feminine journey together. I'm going to probably start a Facebook group or a WhatsApp group so we can all talk about it. I know I get a lot of dating advice, and I know the dating advice that I give can help a lot of other women. So I just hope to build more of a feminine community. And with Mike being on it, I hope women can see what a masculine man is and what you can look for and what traits. And for all the men listening, like, maybe you can take note for what he says as well. But it's going to be super, super exciting.
I'm excited.
Yeah, that's all. After all that, I'm excited.
I'm excited for you. I'm excited for all the women listening, because there's a lot to learn. You have sat there for hours on end reading book after book after book, you know, listening to all the podcasts. We've had tons of discussions. You know, you've really immersed yourself in this, and I've seen the advice you give work to the women that you speak with. And I also know how impactful it's been too, when I see the women around you that have, you know, that have learned from you. So I think it's a great thing. I think it's very encouraging. And I'm really proud of you, and I'm excited to see where you bring it. And I'm sure everybody is.
Yeah. So before we end this off officially, remember there was the testimony of this girl. She came over and she was just picking something up, and she was asking me about, like, a bunch of dating advice. And I was, like, literally just telling her my words of wisdom. And she was just like, well, I do this and he does that and I act this way. And I'm like, okay, girl, like whatever you have learned in the past, like completely wipe your brain and just start fresh. And this is how you're going to do things. And this is how you're going to say things. And she took my advice. And I would say like 3-4 months later, she messaged me and she had a ring on her finger. And she's just like, wow, it was because of you, like this happened. Like, thank you so much. So it's going to be super exciting. And I hope that happens to all of you guys. And yeah,
it will. Yeah. It will. For anybody that wants it, anybody that actually listens and wants to change, you know, there's a lot of good, I think, material here that you're going to share. So I'm excited for everybody.
Same.
Well, thank you again.
Yeah. And I'm going to try to be posting every Monday. I think that's my set schedule. I feel like everybody posts podcasts on Monday. Okay. So I don't know if I should do Monday, Wednesday, whatever.
We're going to do all the days.
We're going to do all the days. Every single day. We're going to be like Joe Rogan.
All right. Well, thank you again.
Thank you. See you guys later.